collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
To the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking as we're into the final week of the regular season in college football. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We've come your way every week talking about the Wildcats and what transpired for them and what lies ahead. And what transpired this past Saturday was a crazy game at Wrigley Field. 38-35 victory over the Minnesota Golden Gophers, a much-needed win for Northwestern, but Dan, I don't know. I mean, you talk about a roller coaster. Cats got up 10-0. They got down 28-13. They led 35-28. Game was tied 35-all. And then Jack Olson kicks a field goal with 53 seconds to go to put them ahead one last time. And they still had to hang on there and hold their breath as Minnesota had a kick to tie the game in the final play. But still, they're bowl eligible.
Yeah, a huge win, as you mentioned, and to your point, really just like a roller coaster of emotions and kind of a microcosm of the season, right? You get off to a great start, but then on that second drive, you kick a field goal. And as we've talked about in the past, it's like, uh-oh, here we go again with the red zone, tight zone, you know, stalls. And they had a different package with Ryan Bowe, which, you know, I appreciate them getting creative, but I don't think it was super effective, you know, especially the way Preston was playing probably his best game of his season. And then, you know, Minnesota storms back, gets the momentum, and then coming out of half, you have that stop and drop punt. And I'm sure, you know, everybody was looking around saying, here we go again, right? They get a quick score right after that muff punt. But credit to Northwestern, they really kind of buckled down and said, this isn't happening, and went right down and scored and clawed back and made the plays, you know, at the end of the game to win, which is great for them. Obviously, that last drive was a little nerve-wracking, but, you know, they made the stop and got the win. So, you know, certainly a roller coaster of emotions, but for Coach Braun, it's another huge win for him, getting the team to bowl eligibility. And we can talk about it with him a little bit more when he comes on. But, you know, the two Minnesota games in his career have really been linchpins, one getting it going and one pulling it forward.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and David Braun, the head coach, is going to join us here shortly. But he mentioned that this week that, you know, that game, that was his first Big Ten win against Minnesota in Evanston in 2023 when the Wildcats were down 31-10 in the fourth quarter, but rallied to tie it up in the closing seconds and then won it in overtime. And that got them going that year. They ended up in a bowl game, ended up with an 8-win season, and they have that potential still in front of them this year. 525 yards of total offense. Quarterback Preston Stone, without a doubt, his best game, 25 of 30, 305 yards, couple of touchdown passes, 322 yards of total offense. Dan, as a quarterback, what did you see that was different with Preston Stone, or was this just maybe the progression and just at this point he's playing his best football?
Yeah, I think it was both. I think he's certainly progressed and has been improving all season. I think the thing that stuck out to me was just like the clean pocket all day, getting the ball out on time, and really just being decisive when he made decisions, whether throwing or running the ball, specifically running. I think there's been a couple times this year where he's an athletic guy, he broke the pocket and would look to throw or whatever else, and sometimes make probably the wrong decision. But I think he was really decisive running the ball, and you know, Coach Lujan did a great job getting completions, right? You know, early in drives, and you know, whether that's sustaining the running game or getting quick throws, I thought the plan was really good. Save some of the red zone, tight zone stuff, which we can get into. But no, I mean, he was certainly feeling it, right? Just ripping the ball, made great decisions, really didn't have a ton of balls contested. And that was, you know, something he struggled with early in the year, whether it was picked off or batted down or a completion. There was a lot of balls thrown in traffic, and that just wasn't the case this time. So really, really happy to see that progression. And you know, again, for him, you know, he's a captain of the team and a leader. I'm sure he, and we can talk to Coach Braun about it, but I'm sure he was in those huddles and on the sideline, you know, after that muff punt, just saying, look, let's keep going. We got to go down and drive, keep playing. And credit to them, they did.
You know, the really uncharacteristic thing, I think, for Northwestern were all the penalties. And I believe they only had two after halftime. They had eight penalties in the first half. Most of them were pre-snap penalties. And this is a team which really has not had a ton of those over the course of the season. And they've been one of the least penalized teams in the Big Ten. But they were able to overcome that in this game. I think that's pretty significant that you can have 10 penalties and still come back from a big deficit and win a game.
Yeah, and I think it just speaks to their mental fortitude as well, right? Whether it's turnovers or bad bounces or penalties, they just wouldn't be denied, right? Especially that last hands to the face penalty on the guard, right? Backing them up in a kind of a must-have drive to win the game. And they go back to Hunter Welsing and he makes a huge catch and gets the first down. So I think they just had an attitude that, look, this things are going to not go our way all the time. We're going to keep fighting and we're going to make it happen. And you know, credit to them for doing that.
Well, they finished with 220 yards rushing. They had a 100-yard rusher and two 100-yard receivers. And that was pretty impressive because you've watched this wide receiver group come around over the course of the season. And Drew Wagner, who's been one of their top pass catchers all year, was out for this game. He's going to be out again this week against Illinois. But, I mean, Griffin Wilde just keeps getting the job done. A 100-yard receiving game for him. 11 catches, a career high. Hayden Elligan with 100 yards receiving for the first time in his career. And, you know, other guys contributed. Ricky Amorazzi, and they get the ball to the tight ends now. Hunter Welsing, again, had a good game. I mean, it just seems like as a group, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the running backs as receivers, too, have really come around as the season has gone along.
Yeah, completely agreed. I think Wilde has been steady Eddie all year, and he continues to just be a master at running routes and getting open and making contested catches. As we've talked about, the question has been who else is going to step up, right? And it's been fun to see Elligan develop. Amorazzi is a guy that they certainly thought would contribute a little bit more, and it's good to see him step up as well. But to your point, I love Welsing. I think he's a tough kid. He makes huge catches. I think they got to continue to find ways for him to possess the ball in the middle of the field, because he's an athletic guy and a real weapon. And to your point, it's you know, the running backs are threats out of the backfield. I'd love to see Hyman get, you know, a little bit more action out of the backfield, given how athletic he is. But, you know, credit to Coach Lujan. I think there's been a lot of heat and chatter in the background, but he, I thought, called his best game as well, spreading the ball around.
And as far as the defense goes, you know, they gave up a couple of chunk plays and one of the big pass play that led to the tying touchdown. That Drake Lindsey, the quarterback for Minnesota, is pretty good. And redshirt freshman kind of playing beyond his years a little bit, but he had a nice game for them. Still, if you look at the way it all ended up, one of the real points of emphasis has been third down defense, which had eluded Northwestern the last few games. They'd been really good in that area much of the season, but they gave up that final drive against Nebraska. USC converted a bunch of third downs, and then Michigan did also, certainly on that final drive last week. But this week, third and fourth down combined, Minnesota was 3 out of 9. And the defense was able to get off the field. And even on that last possession for Minnesota, when you're thinking, okay, they have time to go down and score a touchdown here, forget about tying the game with a field goal, the defense made a stop when they had to.
Yeah, great. You know, I think Lindsey had a great game. You got to tip your cap to good quarterbacks and good receivers, right? Good offense is always going to beat good defense. And they made a bunch. He made a bunch of big throws, and they made a bunch of big catches. You know, there's a couple times where Fussell got a little bit in trouble with some PI. But I you know, for giving up 35 points, I didn't think that the defense played terrible. You know, you got it. It was just two really good offenses humming and scoring. So I think they're going to look back at the tape and see a lot of things they can improve on, especially in the back half. But it's still a strong group. And to your point, you know, on third down, they stepped up when they needed to.
All right, Dan, right now, let's welcome in the head coach of the Wildcats, David Braun, Northwestern, heading to a postseason bowl game after Saturday's game against Illinois for the Land of Lincoln Trophy. First coach in Northwestern history to take a team to a bowl game in two of his first 3 years. Coach, we appreciate the time today, and I know your focus is only on Illinois right now, but bigger picture over the course of the season, how would you compare the journey this team has been on to the one that you went through your first year in 2023?
Yeah, Dave, Dan, thanks for having me on. You know, it's been, you know, totally different. Just from a standpoint of 2023 being such a difficult time for everyone around the program, and trying to just rally and stay together and find a way to make sure that that group of guys had an awesome experience in the 2023 season, and so proud of what that group accomplished. And this year, we've talked about this, Dave, but, you know, coming off a 4-8 season, it really provided an opportunity for everyone. And starting with me, of like, where do we need to grow? Where do we need to evolve? What do we need to change? What areas do I need to do a better job of challenging the program? And, you know, it really dates back to January, and it dates back to guys like Cam Porter and Carmine Bastone and Mac Uline and, you know, Caleb Tiernan and, you know, young guys like Caleb Komolafe. And, I mean, the list goes on. But, you know, the work and the commitment that this group put into not just this season, but the entire offseason, and how we were going to approach, you know, building a team and bringing in some transfers. It's been an incredible journey, and what I've, you know, it's been full of highs, and it's been full of lows and some difficult times. But I think the thing that I'm most proud of with this group is just how committed they are to finishing this, you know, finishing it the right way. In the age of college football, where there can be so many distractions, you know, transfer portal. I mean, you know, the things that are going on in college football right now around the country hurt my heart a little bit. Just from a standpoint of, you know, you just want to see teams finish their season, finish it the right way. And that's harder to do today than it's ever been. And this group has just been totally committed to one another, you know, to secure postseason play. An opportunity to play in a bowl game is something that this group is really excited about. And they're also, you know, have done a great job of just shifting their focus to, you know, getting the hat back in Evanston against a really good Illinois team. Rivalry games matter. They should matter. It should be something that is talked about throughout the facility, you know, throughout the course of the year and the off season. We have done that, and we're excited for the opportunity ahead.
Yeah, there was just pure joy on the faces of your players after that win on Saturday at Wrigley Field. You know, there's no question that nobody on this team is taking a bowl trip for granted, taking bowl eligibility or even winning a game at Wrigley Field as you did Saturday, taking that for granted. But I'm curious, you said you asked yourself, what do I need to do better? What answer did you come up with?
Yeah, you know, Dave, it was a long list. But, you know, ultimately, like, it started with evaluating the landscape of college football. You know, I have such a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for Coach Fitz. And, you know, I was so excited to be a part of the program and learn from him and learn from the structure, you know, of the program. And, you know, in the early days of, you know, becoming the permanent head coach, I think I was very much like, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way Fitz did it. Like, this is the way we're going to continue to do it. And it's not that it was bad. You know, it was great. It certainly worked. But the game that we're playing now in college football is totally different than it has been in the past. And I had to be willing to really evaluate, like, how we communicate, how we structure our recruiting, how we structure our scouting, how we go about retention, of our roster while still prioritizing the student athlete experience. Like, it just had to look different. We had to change. We had to evolve. And then the other area, and this is just a limitation of mine, I'm so relationship driven that I can fall into a trap of not doing a good enough job of challenging, you know, individuals or challenging the program as a whole in different areas to do better. You know, like, hey, I appreciate you, but it's not good enough. Like, we need to do better. We need to push more in this area. And ultimately, that's my job. You know, I'm responsible for everything that touches this program and affects our guys' ability to have a great experience and win football games. And not that I'm going to change who I am or change, my care and love for everyone that's a part of this group, but I think I've done a much better job of just, really pushing the envelope and challenging myself and others to do better, to find new solutions. And if we're going to talk about, and this is more broad scope, but if we're going to talk about competing for Big Ten championships, like, everything that we do better be reflective of that. And where there's areas that need improvement, we better attack those and address them and get them fixed. And, I still have plenty to work on, but those are areas, Dave, where I feel like I've grown tremendously over the course of the last year.
Right. Dan?
Coach Dan Pearce here. Thanks again for joining us. Going back to the Minnesota game, obviously coming into the game, three tough losses where I'm sure you guys felt like you probably should have won all of those games outside of a couple bounces. And then you get into the Minnesota game, a great start. Gets away from you a little bit, and you have that drop punt, right? And that's the moment where, the team or anybody would start looking around saying, here we go again. But, the team didn't do that, right? So take us maybe into the mindset of that moment. Who are the guys that stepped up? What was the talk on the sideline? Because it's very clear that this is a tough team based on the response to that.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. You have a chance at halftime where Minnesota had captured the momentum going into half. But you had a chance to reset over half, and defense comes out and gets a three and out. And you're like, okay, here we go. And then there's a muff punt, and the following play is a touchdown. And, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that there's this brief moment of like, oh, no. And what was amazing about our staff, guys like Preston Stone, Caleb Tiernan, Carmine Bastone, even a guy like Cam Porter who's not able to play right now, like, you could visibly see them going up to guys like, hey, on to the next play, guys, and shifting their focus to what they could control. Offense gets the ball back, puts a great drive together. And the thing about this team, Dan, is like, when we're within one score, it doesn't matter what stage of the game, this team believes that, we got what it takes to find a way to win. And to get that game to back within one score and the 2-point conversion was huge. It just speaks to the leadership of this football team. And the guys that I'll specifically point out, Preston Stone, Caleb Tiernan, Mac Uline, even a guy like Hayden Elligan, you can see it on the coach's tape. There was a point where we had a false start late in the fourth quarter, critical moment. And Hayden Elligan, young guy, only in his second year, is walking back into the huddle. And he's like, hey, guys, it's okay. On to the next play. Like, to see that type of maturity and leadership out of a young guy speaks volumes of this group as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the teams and players that fans can really get behind and make it fun to watch. Heading into Illinois, what's kind of the mood of the team? What are some things that you guys think you can take advantage of? And on the Illinois side, what are some things they do that make them pretty dangerous?
Yeah, I'll start with the dangerous part. I mean, their quarterback is a really good player that's playing at a really high level. He processes well. They're certainly committed to running the football, but utilize RPOs to take advantage of box structures where you're trying to load the box and take away their run game. Defensively, they got some guys up front, specifically number 17 and edge, that is just very disruptive and dynamic. Some talented corners. They're good in the back half. They're a little dinged up at linebacker right now. And ultimately, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the weather, but, you know, possibility of rain and snow and, I mean, some awesome Big Ten weather. This game is going to be won or lost at the line of scrimmage. We're going to have to establish the run game. We're going to have to do a good job of stopping the run, and at times stopping the run with maybe a lighter box with their ability to get the ball, whether it be on, you know, glance routes or out on the perimeter. And, you know, we know it's going to be a four-quarter battle, but the job that Brett Bielema has done at Illinois is something that we have a tremendous amount of respect for. There's also an incredible amount of urgency. You know, being able to have the hat back in Evanston after the 23 game and then losing it last year, there's a group of seniors around here that want to make sure that part of their legacy is recapturing that hat and bringing it back to Evanston.
Northwestern coach David Braun with us on Collegiately Speaking. Dave and Dan Person. Before I let you go, Coach, a couple quick items. You didn't have bowl practices last year. You had them 2 years ago. How much of an impact, especially you have some seniors who played a lot of football for you who won't be back next year. You got a lot of young guys who are in the system on the way up. How important are those extra practices for you as you look ahead?
It's so important, Dave. You know, it's almost like a bonus spring ball in a lot of ways. And you have to be strategic in terms of how you approach it. We'll definitely provide our older guys that have played a ton of football for us this year, you know, a great opportunity to rest and recover. The entire team will get an opportunity to take a deep breath, you know, as our staff game plans for the bowl. But we are going to be, you know, urgent in our development of this entire roster. There's so many guys that I can think of, you know, Mason Main and John Stevens and Marquette Dorsey and Elijah Jones and, you know, Adrees Cotton, you know, Dennis Ruhuski, like all these guys that have shown so much growth over the course of the last year that haven't played a ton of Big Ten football yet, but they are going to really benefit from having a bowl prep where we can really, I don't want to say slow it down, but really be intentional about taking a lot of time, not only in their development, in individual, but provide some opportunities for those guys to get some really meaningful reps, and play more football. And we do that throughout the year. We have developmental Indy, post practice every Monday, every Wednesday, you know, bye weeks, we always tap into that as well, but there's just something different about having multiple weeks to invest in that opportunity. And to be honest with you, Dave, I think that's one thing that, you know, those of us here that were either at North Dakota State or South Dakota State that were fortunate enough to go, you know, and play in the national championship at the FCS level, there's always this, you know, 3 week gap between the semifinal and the national championship game. And at NDSU, we used to call it winter camp. And essentially it was a version of spring ball. And I really think that became a competitive advantage for that program. And my hope is that that's something that can become, you know, a regular occurrence here at Northwestern, like it has in the past, of just an incredible opportunity when you're playing in the postseason to have more time with your young players to see them continue to develop.
You honored 19 seniors on Saturday before the game. Obviously, these days with the landscape changing, sometimes guys have eligibility, but they want to get on in the next phase of their life or whatever the case. When do you start having conversations with guys about if they have the chance to come back next year, whether they will and whether they'll have that opportunity?
You know, one of the great benefits of having Christian Sarkisian on staff, you know, as our general manager, is, you know, those are conversations that naturally start to happen with our players and Sark, you know, I mean, really early on, I mean, maybe even before the season, in terms of like long-term planning, whether it's, you know, guys that have incredible professional opportunities outside of football. And, you know, there's been guys, you know, that have been a part, this program for years has prided itself on graduating guys and also having opportunities for guys to go on and, you know, get, you know, degrees beyond their undergraduate work, whether it be at Kellogg or elsewhere. And, you know, there's some guys on this roster right now that might have a year left. And they already got their master's in management from Kellogg. So those conversations are important. And then there's just some guys that, you know, are going to be really frank with you about, like, coach, I have no idea, but I'll sort that out once the season's over. But having Christian as an additional asset to be a great sounding board, or even guys that, you know, are potentially considering declaring, you know, for the NFL draft with another year eligibility, his expertise in that space and perspective is something that I think has been beneficial, not only to the program, but our players. What I am really excited about is something that we've prioritized and this program has prioritized is, yeah, we have to go get some transfers, but ultimately we better do as good as anybody in the country of retaining our best people and our best players. And Christian Sarkisian has done a tremendous job of that very proactively already as the season's been going on.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Thank you for jumping on with Dan and me today. We will see you in Champaign. Wear snowshoes on Saturday. All right.
Sounds good. Dave, Dan, really appreciate the opportunity to jump on with you guys. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks very much. All right, well, great to have Coach Braun on with us. And Dan, some interesting stuff there. And, you know, he knows a lot about college football. He's been in it a long time. And I think he has a really interesting perspective.
Yeah, agreed. I think he's obviously a very likable guy and a guy that the kids play really hard for. I think the one thing that stuck out to me that impressed me is his comment on what he needed to improve on. Obviously, you know, he came into the program at, you know, very tough circumstances, but his comment about making, you know, changes to Fitz's blueprint and making the program his own, I think is really important. Right. Obviously I respect what Fitz did and he had a great foundation. But, you know, Coach Broad isn't Coach Fitz, and he needs to, you know, take whatever steps necessary to make this program his and improve on things he thinks need to be improved on. So I think that was an important comment. But again, just very clear, you know, why these guys play hard for him.
And by the way, you know, Pat Fitzgerald took over as head coach under very difficult circumstances, as did David Braun. And I think in both cases, one thing I noticed when Fitz took over for the late Randy Walker, you know, you especially the team was hurting, guys were grieving, and you know, you had to tread carefully. And I think eventually, I mean, he was coach for a long time. Eventually the program becomes his and he implements his own procedures and systems. And I think it was very similar. And I liked what Dave had to say about that first year, about 23. He wanted to make sure, after all that those guys went through during the summer, he wanted to make sure that they had a really good experience. And I think if you ask the guys who were on that team 2 years ago, some of whom are still there, they would tell you they did. And it all ended up with that a bowl victory and a 4-game winning streak to end the season. So
yeah, and it's a great point. And I was there, right? My first year was 2007, right? So right. So that was kind of the first year Fitz had a full off season and started to implement a lot of the you know foundations that he built there. So it was cool to see. I think to your point, there is some delicacy with legacy with Coach Walk. But I think it was cool to see from 2007 to 2008 and 2009, how he really just, you know, took the things he really liked, but at the same time made the program his own. And Coach Braun's doing the same thing.
Well, next stop, Champaign Saturday, the Fighting Illini. I don't remember, and I've been doing this a long time, don't remember a night game. I remember some late afternoon games, where Illinois Northwestern have been under the lights, but not starting at night, but this will be a little bit different in Champaign on Saturday, especially if it's snowing. It's senior night for Illinois. And look, Illinois had a terrific season, 7 wins. They've had some ups and downs, as have the Wildcats. Ultimately, winner of this game will finish ahead of the other in the Big Ten standings. They're both 4-4 in conference play. Northwestern's played a bunch of less experienced, younger quarterbacks lately. Now they're playing a guy who has played an awful lot of football for Illinois, and even before that, in Luke Altmyer. So they're playing a guy with an awful lot of experience. How does that help the Illini?
It helps him a ton, right? And Altmaier's, I think he's one of the more underrated quarterbacks probably in the Big Ten, if not the nation, right? You know, we saw that on display last year. So they're a more formidable opponent, and the Cats got to be ready.
Altmaier will be playing in his 43rd game, his 35th start for Illinois. Actually, his 35th start in his career. He's started 33 games for the Illini. Last week, Wisconsin rushed for 209 yards against Illinois and held the Illini to 50. Now, part of that was due to five sacks by the Wisconsin defense. But look, Northwestern, snow or no snow, they're going to need to go in there and rely on the running game, which has carried them much of the season.
Absolutely. And it should be a game they're confident in, given that stat.
All right. Well, should be an interesting one. Saturday night in Champaign, 6:30 kickoff. We will have it for you on WGN Radio, our pregame starting at 6. And we'll come back with you for another edition of Collegiately Speaking sometime before the Wildcats play their bowl game. But this will do it for now. Hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving, Dan Persa. And I know a big part of that would be seeing the Wildcats come up with a win on Saturday.
Absolutely. You as well.
All right. Thanks. Thanks also to Northwestern coach David Braun for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again next time.